Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score on a lovely Friday morning in Chicago. Welcome to the audience for the Chicago Sports Network, where we simulcast every day, 7 to 9 in the morning. Thank you for joining us on your Friday morning. Time now to go out to the Arturo Hotline. And Brad Biggs is brought to you by the Arturo, your all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Good morning, Brad. How's it going?
Morning, Dave. What's going on?
Well, I want to get to the Bears. We have a lot of stuff that I didn't talk to you about yesterday when I was off. We have a lot of catching up to do, but I want to start here. Thursday Night Football, little debate going here. I know everybody watched it. When you are the Bengals and you come back the way that you did and you watch Lamar Jackson do what he did in the fourth quarter for the Ravens, great football game on Amazon. It's 35-34, less than a minute to go in the game. Did the Bengals do the right thing by going for two?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think, defense didn't play particularly great in the second half of that game. I think you got to take your shot right there. I wouldn't second guess that at all.
Maybe I'd second guess what your play was. Why not throw a ball to Ja'Marr Chase, who did everything last night to get the Bengals, keep them in that game? But I guess you could quibble with the play call, but not the decision.
No, and that was a hell of a football game. And you watch a game like that, and you're sitting there, and you're just like, the Bears aren't built to play in a game like that right now.
They'd get
run out of the gym by the way those teams were playing, Cincinnati and Baltimore right now.
If Caleb Williams has 197 yards and 3 touchdowns Sunday during the game, we'll be happy and celebrating it on Monday. That was Lamar Jackson's fourth quarter.
Oh, I mean, if Caleb did that, people would be. Yeah, you'd have people declaring he's better than Jaden Daniels again. And so hopefully they can take a step forward, though. Like, they've got to, because it's just been really choppy, really disjointed, and it's problematic for them.
I think that I agree with you, Brad, and Sunday is a game the Bears cannot afford to lose, and Caleb Williams needs to get back on the right track. Let's start with Montez Sweat, though, because he spoke yesterday about missing last week's game with the shin contusion, it sounds like. What did you make of his explanation? And do you buy that it was essentially up to Ryan Poles and it was a decision that was out of Montez Sweat's hands?
Oh, boy. I mean, you're really trying to parse what people say when you get into that. Here's what I know. It was a bruised shin. This wasn't shin splints or anything like that. And going into last Sunday, I think the team felt like he was going to be able to play in that game. And all of a sudden, he wasn't playing in that game. I think you've got to, as a team, be responsive and listen to your players when they're telling you that they're not right. And I give Sweat the benefit of the doubt right now, certainly when you consider his track record for durability, the fact that really the only time he missed, I think, when he was in Washington was when he had a broken jaw, and then he might have come down with COVID when he was coming back from the jaw injury. So, if this is a guy who you're wondering about his availability from time to time, I would look at it very differently. If this is the start of him not being around a whole lot and having durability issues, then we've got a different thing to kind of address here. But considering his track record, I believe he is due the benefit of the doubt that, you know what, he just wasn't going to be able to go.
Without him, the Bears struggled to stop the run. The challenge will still be great this week, regardless of the opponent, because Andrew Billings is on injured reserve. He won't be there. Sweat comes back, but you lose Andrew Billings. How will the Bears respond? What will they do to replace Billings in terms of personnel, or will it just be kind of by committee?
Well, I think it's got to be by committee. And they weren't necessarily playing the run great with Sweat. Like not that Sweat's been a problem against the run. I don't want to paint that picture at all. But with him in the lineup, they had some games where you're looking at it and you're saying, oh, boy, they need to tighten this up a little bit. And I think the problem early in the season before the London game against Jacksonville, when they did a nice job against the run, was that they'd given up some explosive runs. They'd given up some big plays. And we saw a little bit of everything at Arizona, and it wasn't great at Washington. So they got to be better there, because New England's going to see that and try to capitalize, right? You've got a rookie quarterback. You're going to try to get the running game going and take a few things maybe off his plate. But I would expect everybody to get sort of more opportunities. Byron Cowart profiles as that nose tackle. Zach Pickens should play some more. Javon Dexter's got to play better against the run. I don't think he had a good game at Arizona. He struggled out there. So it's going to take all hands on deck.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. S-Wing.com. Brad, what did you hear from Shane Waldron on Thursday at Hallis Hall that makes you believe the Bears' offensive game plan will make more sense and have more success on Sunday?
It's not words. You got to show me, right? I'm going to believe it when I see it. I would think Cole Kmet gets the ball some more, just because that's been kind of really obtuse. But I would have thought they would have got DJ Moore really, really going and in a comfortable spot a little more consistently than they have, which that's basically only happened in the Carolina game this season. So you kind of get replies. I don't know that you hear things that you should walk away from thinking, well, there's an answer that makes sense to me. So I got to see it. I'm not going to put stock in what's said. They're going to have to show me. And I think for people who are watching it and wondering what the issues are on offense, they should probably take a similar approach that, show me what you're going to do.
So Drake May comes in, Brad, and he's coming off a very good game. He completed 70% of his passes, over 200 passing yards, and he had over 90 yards rushing, the most productive rushing output in game for a quarterback in a Patriot uniform since Steve Grogan back in 1976, I believe. I wonder what to expect from Drake May against this Bears defense, and I wonder how will come out of the game if the Bears win, but Drake May outplays Caleb Williams, or at least has better numbers or a more obviously successful day.
Yeah, I'm interested to see him, because I went down to Chapel Hill and saw him last fall. He's good size. He's athletic. The rushing, huge rushing numbers last week, which would be bigger than you would expect. But watching him play, you could tell he could move around. His brothers played basketball for the Tar Heels. I mean, this is a guy, this is an athletic guy. This isn't some guy that's going to be stationary in the pocket. And I think the focus that, he's got is probably on protecting the football. They realize that the Bears have done a pretty good job of getting the takeaways this season. And he does have, I think he threw two interceptions in that overtime loss to the Titans. And he had a couple picks earlier in the year in his first start against Houston, so he's got to prioritize ball security. And my goodness, I mean, he's throwing the ball to a cast of
they're anonymous.
Nobody's. Yeah, it's really something. So you figure Jalen Johnson will do a number on whoever the Patriots send out to that side, and then the Bears should do a nice job. But what do they have to do first? They've got to take care of business stopping the run, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to prove that last week in Arizona was more of an aberration than a sign of problems that will be expanding and growing during the second half of the season in the absence of Andrew Billings.
Just curious, when you look at the secondary for the Bears, Kyler Gordon might be coming back. He's trending in the right direction. Obviously, no Brisker. Tyrique Stevenson is the opposite corner of Jalen Johnson, but where is his head at going into this game?
Oh, I think he'll be fine.
How about Reddy Stewart? What role does he play coming into this game? Are we going to see a lot of different combinations, mixing and matching, trying to find the right one?
Well, if Kyler Gordon is healthy and back in action this week, I'd be a little surprised if Reddy Stewart is active for the game, just because of you've got to have your numbers for special teams, and Josh Blackwell is one of their core special teams guys. And Blackwell had been in that nickel role, and they just wanted to Reddy Stewart had done real well in practice. They wanted to give him a shot. And that's what they tell them, those guys that are on the practice squad. You know, you work hard, see what kind of opportunity you can create for yourself. And it wasn't that Blackwell had not been playing well, that they just thought Reddy was deserving of a little time. But with Gordon back in the mix, I don't know that there'll be space for him.
So on Sunday, I imagine that in the press box, and I don't know how many people in the stands will be doing this, but I'm certainly sure that a lot of people who are covering the game with a credential will be watching the connection and the body language and the rapport between DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. Because I think that, Brad, how would you describe what you're looking for or why that hasn't worked to the extent that people thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked to the extent that the Bears thought or hoped it would. And I think that's a real thing, right? Like, you know, can they get on the same page? And, you know, the receivers can be like that when things aren't going well for them personally, as well as the team as a whole, right? Like, if the Bears were putting up 32 points a game, I don't know that you'd look at DJ and see a guy that appears to be frustrated from time to time. Because I do believe he's a team guy. But, that's worthy of watching. But the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not they're able to kind of get going a little bit. These games where he's got, you know, 30 yards receiving, that doesn't make sense. Like, that just to anyone, when it involves a guy that just got a, what did he get, a $110 million contract extension?
A lot of money.
Like the Bears got to be looking at this and saying, you know, what are we doing? Like, how does Eberflus explain that to Poles? How does Shane Waldron explain that to the front office? Because they've got this skill position talent, and they're simply not able to engage it yet.
And yet, as important as a downfield passing game is, I feel like against this Patriot team that was called soft by its own coach, you got to come out and establish your own running game and be physical at the point of attack. So, Brad, it feels like every Friday we're kind of checking with you to look ahead, and you're looking at the injury report. How do you see this offensive line lining up Sunday without its two starting tackles and now with a host of replacements?
Yeah, well, that's what – hopefully we'll get a better handle on that today. And Darnell Wright remained out of practice yesterday. Braxton Jones was limited. And my guess on the show yesterday was that if one of those two guys were to play on Sunday, it would be Wright. I don't know that that's still not the case, even based on what happened yesterday. We'll have to see. If one of the tackles is down – I think we'll see Larry Borum. In fact, I'd be stunned if we didn't see Larry Borum in that role. If both of them are down, that's where it gets really interesting. You've got two options. Take Matt Pryor, who you've been relatively pleased with what he's been able to do at right guard, and move him on the outside and plug somebody into that guard spot. Nate Davis or Ryan Bates, or you hope that Jake Curran got the butterflies out or whatever it was last week, and you plug him back in there.
Or spent the week in the weight room.
Spot. Yeah, and you're mindful of, hey, we got to have some chip help here. We've got to we got to be aware of this, because one thing that Eberflus has said consistently is, you know, we don't like making more changes than absolutely needed, unless we really have to. So that's a one for one. That's a Larry for Braxton Jones instead of a Larry here and move somebody else. You know, they're trying to limit the number of moves that they make. But that's an issue, because they have to get, you know, you talk about the Patriots being able to run the ball for May. The Bears need to run the ball for Caleb. They need to have some profits on first down. I haven't looked at it this week yet, but going into the game last week, the Bears were 24th in the league on first down. And they probably dropped a little bit based on how they played last week. And when you're poor on first down, usually that's a good indicator that you're going to have a tough time on third down, which they do as well. So, you know, if they pick up a 4 or 5 yard run, I'm talking modest goals here on first down, you get into that second and five, second and six, and you've got opportunities. You're not going to be predictable. You're on time. The chains are moving as they should. So they've got to run the ball as well.
All right, Brad, how do you see this game unfolding Sunday?
Well, I don't think it's going to be an entertaining affair to the level of what we saw on television last night with Baltimore and Cincinnati. That one maybe will go down as one of the better regular season games this year. But the Bears have what is going to be the first of many must-win games if they want to do anything. Like they have erased their margin for error, right? The last 2 weeks with struggles on the road at Washington and Arizona, and they're really kind of backed into a corner here. I think they win the game. I don't think it'll be super pretty, but if they put it together, they could beat this New England team by 2 touchdowns. They really could. I don't have a high degree of faith in that. I've got the Bears winning 20-17.
20-17. Did you consult with Mully on that? Because he texted me his prediction last night. You know, he's out today, and it was 20-17. This is the second week in a row you guys had the same prediction.
I called him the other day, and when I didn't hear back, I figured he was probably under the weather a little bit. And that proved to be the case. No, we have not had communication. All
right. 20-17.
Sometimes brilliant minds do think alike.
Okay. That was my other thought. All right, Brad.
Well, naturally.
Naturally. All right, thanks for this good insight, and we will see you on Sunday. Great prediction. 20-17.
Sounds good.
All right,
have a great weekend, Dave.
Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune weighing in with his prediction. 20-17, so that's the closest game, I think, of the predictions that we have. You guys had pretty lopsided outcomes, right, Dustin? I had 27-19. Dustin had 20. What was yours, Dustin?
20-10.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 10 points. Brandon, you're 20-13?
That is correct.
Yeah. Nobody has the Bears getting crazy offensively, though. Those 30-point outcomes are things of the past, it seems. They need one of those, or else more people will be criticizing everything on Monday morning. If they don't look good offensively, if they don't win this game, more people are going to be sounding like Kyle Long sounded yesterday. What did he say? We'll hear from him next on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between with 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack. You'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
If DJ Moore doesn't want to be there and he doesn't like the quarterback, who's going first? And I was pro Fields. I was the one that was like, keep Fields. But if this is what we're doing, and it, I felt like maybe DJ Moore was pro Fields, like reading between the lines last year, right? Then here's the door, dude. Like, they're having trouble getting him the ball anyways. It feels like Rome Odunze and him are on the best page out of three wide receivers. And by the way, this is from Rich Habar. Highest inaccurate target rates for players with 25-plus targets. Odunze's number 6, Keenan Allen's number 8, DJ Moore's number 10. You're not even getting missed the most out of the three, y'all. How are you the one walking off the field?
Wow. Chris Long, still a couple days later, still strong as ever. I cannot wait to hear what Howie Long has to say about the Bears Sunday on Fox, because it seems to be the family's weighing in this week on all things Bears. Welcome back. It's Mullinghaw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. Mully off today, and we are talking about the Long family Christmas that they're going to be. Chris Long weighs in on the Greenlight podcast. Howie Long, Sunday on, let's see, NFL on Fox. We'll see what he has to say at the pregame show. Maybe nothing. But Kyle Long is the one Long we care most about in Chicago. He was a great Bear. He was a really solid Bear, a Pro Bowl caliber Bear. Remember those days we talk about not having stars in Chicago? There were days when Kyle Long was the best player on the Bears as a right guard. That's how bleak things were at one point during his tenure. He still has thoughts. He still has thoughts on the team that he represented so well for about 7 years. And on the Pushing the Pile podcast, these were his concerns about this iteration of the Bears.
This game concerns me. I have some very, very, very big concerns about this game, about, you know, worst case doomsday scenario. Doomsday scenario is that Drake May kind of carves up a defense that's beat up a little bit, got some guys in the hot tub right now, perhaps outplays Caleb Williams. We go from listening to people talk about Jaden Daniels comparisons with Caleb Williams. Oh my God, I don't know if I'm ready for this to get exponentially worse and hear about Drake May and the New England Patriots getting to ride a quarterback too. I still believe we have the guy in Caleb Williams. He's not there yet. We can all agree there. Mm-hmm. It would get a lot worse if Drake May comes into Chicago in these winter months and gets after the Bears defense.
Winter months, we're not there yet, but his point is well taken. If Drake May outplays Caleb Williams, regardless of the outcome, well, it will be worse if they lose. If they lose, I think the focus actually will be diverted and divided between Shane Waldron, Matt Eberflus, and maybe Caleb, depending on how he plays. But if Drake May comes in here and outplays Caleb Williams and the Bears win, there still will be some concern over his development and ascension. I think that Drake May has a capability of doing that, because he's coming off a strong game, and he is talented. As Brad Biggs said, this is somebody who is no slouch. Third overall pick. I don't think that he was ever really strongly considered by the Washington Commanders to be the guy they would take over Jaden Daniels. But Drake May has impressed guys like Hunter Henry, a veteran teammate of his, for having what we – the special. In Chicago, we talk about the special in Caleb Williams. In Boston, they're talking about the special in Drake May. And we know what they're talking about in D.C. Goodness sakes, Jaden Daniels shows the special every week, so that's why he's an MVP candidate. This is shaping into a could be a pretty decent year, after all, for rookie quarterbacks. I don't know about Bo Nix, if he's going to become Bo Pix again. I don't know where he's headed in Denver. And obviously, J.J. McCarthy, the fifth quarterback taken in the first round, he's out for the season. But Sunday, the focus on May versus Caleb, and Kyle Long is right. There will be consternation in Chicago if the third overall pick outplays the number one overall pick. And then there'll be bigger problems to consider. Matt Eberflus, remember him? He also has problems. He's got a team in disarray. Kyle Long also addressed the Bears' issues with Eberflus.
I think they're cooked. Yeah. I think there's too much infighting. I think they lack inspiration from their head coach. You can just take a look at Evan Washburn's interview with Matt Eberflus coming out of the tunnel in the previous game. They said, what did you say to your team? He said, well, I told them the score, and I said they have each other. That sounds like a mom who's given up on a couple kids who have been really bad behavioral on the day. And she's like, you know what? I'm checked out. You wait till your dad gets home. He's going to whip your ass. You know what? But there's no dad that's coming home for the Bears.
Correct.
That's what you got.
That's what you got. Thank you, Kyle Long, on the Pushing the Pile podcast. What do you think about that? 312-644-6767. I think they're cooked. Kyle Long. If Kyle Long were in the Bears locker room, still wearing good old number 75, and a media member had proclaimed to everyone who would listen or read or watch that the Bears were cooked, my sense is that he would have something to say about it. I would hope so. He was a great guy to cover. But I don't know that the Bears are cooked. I could understand why somebody of his stature and experience might say that. But it's still, we're 8 games in. Bears need a victory as badly as they ever have this season. We talked about Washington coming out of the bye. Wanted to win that game. Maybe a must win. We talked about last week after they blew it because of the response was so important. That was maybe a must win, and they lost it. So what does that mean when you lose must win games? Well, it means you're going to leave the impression that you are cooked. And the Bears certainly look like they are. But now they can rally around that, perhaps. They had the big team meeting, which I think was another team meeting. This team talks a lot. We kind of like that, but you do hear things that aren't necessarily things that make you feel like this team is all on the same page. You've got the rapport between DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. You've got Montez Sweat saying it, a decision wasn't up to him whether or not he played last week or not. You have a lot of things that are symptoms of dysfunctional teams that if you reach 3 games in terms of a losing streak before getting into the teeth of your schedule, that is full-fledged crisis mode, and you might have lost the plot and the season in one fell swoop. So I appreciate where Kyle Long is coming from. He is projecting and previewing and predicting. The Bears are cooked. I think they're cooked, he said. 312-644-6767. Let's go. Our guy, Shad. All right. What's up?
I heard you earlier, Dave. You said you need your conscience. The biggest week of the season, you needed your conscience. And guess what? I'm here. All full right. of TAC, full Thank of coffee, you. And I'm ready. And here's some perspective. You got a $20 million tight end, $20 million receiver, $25 million receiver, $18 million running back. Okay? I don't want to hear about the offensive line. We have a generational quarterback. That entire Hard Knocks was predicated on a Hollywood different dynamic that we had never seen. It is time.
Shad, hold on. What is this Hard Knocks you speak of?
This is what I want you to understand.
Okay.
They presented this team as supposed to be the new face of the division. You have a podcast anchored with your boy, The Weeds, called Take the North. Now, if you look at this matchup with Gerard's Patriots, this is the easiest game that any team's ever played in the history of football. And if you don't see Caleb have the game of his life, because it's his game, he calls his own plays. And you see a 40 burger on the lakefront that gets this city enthused again.
All right.
You're going to see the most nuclear Monday you've ever seen on the score, David. Bring your biggest pair of britches because I'm ready for the weekend.
Shad, just a yes or no answer to my question. Do you think the Bears are cooked?
Chopped beef, Italian beef, bratwurst cooked, Dave. Extra well done.
I said one word. Let's go out to Bill, who's on the Odyssey app. Bill, welcome to Mullion Haw.
Hey, guys. Yeah, the Hail Mary broke the Bears. We're going to look back on that at the end of the season and see a team that, had they won that game, who knows what could have happened. But they had played like crap, and they were able to engineer a comeback, and then the Hail Mary broke them. I think they're done. They're cooked.
Wow. All right. That's not a lot of optimism when you have the worst team in football coming in to play you at home. If the Bears are cooked, that means they lose on Sunday. I don't see them losing on Sunday. I don't know what they are. I don't think they're cooked. They're in disarray. They are unraveling. They're having a lot of issues, but I don't think that the Bears are necessarily cooked yet. They've got a defense that gets Montez Sweat back. They've got, no, Andrew Billings is out. I get that. But there's still, this is a very good defense playing against a rookie quarterback. And Caleb Williams is one 250-yard passing, two-touchdown throwing, solid game away from recapturing everybody's imagination in Chicago. I don't think they're that far off track if that happens. You go in 5-4 into the divisional part of the schedule. Let's talk on Monday. Let's talk on Monday. I think the Bears win this game. They've got to be physical. They're playing a team that is soft. That's not me saying it. That's their coach. And if you're playing a team that is soft, then you want to take advantage of the opportunity. And this is an opportunity for the Bears to get well. And Monday, you might look at things a little bit differently. I think it's going to be difficult to look at things optimistically when you look at the division. I don't think the Bears are ready to take the North. But I don't think they're cooked yet either. If you do, keep calling. You might have to wait a little bit because next we're going to talk to Joe Fortenbaugh. But at 8 o'clock, we'll get back to this conversation about whether or not the Bears are cooked. When we come back, get your pencils out. Joe has some great advice for you over the weekend. College and pro right here on Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mully is out today. You know what that music means, though, on this wonderful Friday morning in Chicago. It means it's time to bring in our guy from ESPN Bet Live, Joe Fortenbaugh. And like all of our guests, Joe is brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Joe. How are you this morning?
What the hell is going on in Chicago? Mully's off. They're just letting the inmates run the asylum today. What are we doing here?
What does that make me? I mean, am I an inmate? Would I have a number now? Am I? Come on, Joe.
No. It's always a pleasure. Solo shows, huh? Those are always a challenge, right? Always a challenge.
There's plenty to talk about here, though. We got all kinds of stuff going on. We got the, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, Joe, but Chicago is in full crisis mode this week. The Bears have lost two in a row, and Caleb Williams is underperforming, and the coach is on the hot seat. So this is just another, you know, ordinary week.
We talk about this a lot on the radio when it comes to Dallas and the Jets. I'm not putting the Bears in that category, but I see the NFL as having three different types of franchises, right? There are serious franchises. The Lions are a serious franchise. The Ravens, the Chiefs, they're serious in their business. There are unserious franchises. That would be teams like Cleveland, like Carolina, like the Raiders, very unserious in the way they go about their business. And then there's for entertainment purposes only, and that's Dallas and the Jets. They only exist to entertain us. The Bears are getting very close to for entertainment purposes only because we got to quiet things down.
Yes.
Too noisy.
Yes.
Everywhere we look, I mean, for you guys, yes, it's going to be local, but nationally, quiet down, Chicago. You're giving too much life to too many of these stories, and it's nothing but a distraction. We got to get organized here. It's part of the reason why you went from a 7-point favorite to a 6-point favorite against the lowly Patriots.
Wow. This weekend. And that's how you lose your job if you're a head coach, by letting your defeats lead to dysfunction that does trickle out, and all of a sudden you become a national punchline. But we digress, Joe. College football, big weekend. I think that you got an elimination game when you're talking about Alabama, LSU. I'm sure you have other thoughts on other games for directional schools I'd known of nothing about. So let's start with college.
Oh, we have thoughts. We have plenty of thoughts. We'll start with the big ones. I do like LSU. Get the 3. Some shops are at +2.5. Get the 3. We've talked about it before. Chicago, a very smart listener group. Okay. I don't have to explain it to you. We've been talking about it for years. 3 is the most key number out there. I think Bama is a bit overvalued here. First of all, this is the spot where you want to buy on Brian Kelly, the LSU head coach. 17-6 against the spread in his career as a home underdog. He thrives in this spot. 17-9-1 against the spread in his career as a coming off a bye week. He thrives in this spot. Bama, it's not Nick Saban's team anymore. They lost to Vanderbilt. They lost to Tennessee. They could have lost to South Carolina. This all came in the wake of that Georgia win. So I was a bit surprised LSU opened as the dog here. I will take the three with the Tigers. Prop bet in this game, Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback, over 44.5 rushing yards. He's averaging about 47 per game on the season. That factors in heavily to the line. What they're not factoring in enough is the opponent. LSU gave up 155 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns to this guy last year. Now, it's a new defensive coordinator, but they struggled defending Marcel Reed, the quarterback at A&M, 2 weeks ago. He ran for over 60 yards. I think Milroe gets it going on the ground, and if he doesn't, then that we're absolutely winning our LSU bet. So those are two bets I would make in that game. Ole Miss plus 2.5 over Georgia. If you did a blind resume of these two teams and you looked at the analytics, but you didn't know who was who, Ole Miss would be favored. But name value for Georgia, so they're favored. Georgia struggles to run. Ole Miss is great defending the run. Carson Beck is very good when he has a clean pocket, but when he doesn't have a clean pocket, he's a turnover machine. 11 INTs last 5 games. Ole Miss is a good defense. They're going to bring pressure. It's risky because we got to back Lane Kiffin, but I'm willing to take the shot here given the price. So give me the Rebels. So those are the two big ones. We want to play LSU at plus 3. We want to play Ole Miss plus the points. We want Jalen Milroe over 44.5 rushing yards. Some others, Penn State minus 13.5 against Washington. Washington coming all the way across the country. Very tough travel spot for these Big Ten teams. It has not worked out well this year with all the travel. Penn State can run the ball. Washington struggles to defend the run. Nittany Lions get back on track. North Texas plus 4 over Army. Army overvalued. Quarterback injury, quarterback situation. North Texas is going to find a way to score. Where else are we looking here? West Virginia plus the 4.5 is on the list as well against Cincinnati. Quarterback change coming in Morgantown for the Mountaineers. The situation sets up well in terms of where they're strong running, passing versus the weakness of the Cincinnati defense. And then I'd also lay it with South Carolina at Vanderbilt. This South Carolina team's a wagon. So the other picks, West Virginia plus 4.5, South Carolina minus 4.5, North Texas plus 4, Penn State minus 13.5. I'd also play Deion in the Buffs minus 4 over Texas Tech.
All right, let's look at the NFL because you mentioned the Bears line moving because of the lack of confidence in what's going on at Hallis Hall. What else do you see in this weekend's NFL slate?
So we'll start with the Bears. They were 7 on the look-ahead line. They came back out as 7. That got whacked pretty quick off the key number. It comes down to 6. Patriots have been a little bit feisty with Drake May at quarterback. We got a low total in this game. It's not easy covering a touchdown when you're playing a game with a total of around 38. I do think the angle here is to play the under, all right? Bears still can play defense. I know they've struggled with the Hail Mary a couple weeks ago, but they were playing really good defense up until that point. Arizona game didn't look very good. This is where you can get back on track. As we know, Bears offense is struggling. You don't need me to rehash any of it. You've probably been talking about it all week. Patriots can play a little D, so I go under 38 in that game, all right? Here's the rundown for the rest. Steelers money line over the Commanders. Steelers off the bye. Mike Tomlin historically great against rookie quarterbacks. Mike Tomlin historically great as a road underdog. I think Washington's overvalued. Everyone loves the 7-2 record. Only one of those teams that they beat has a winning record. It's Arizona at 5-4. Of all the teams they beat, only one defense, the Bears, ranks in the top half of the league in defensive EPA. So I think Washington's a bit overvalued. We're going to play the Steelers on the money line. Niners minus 6.5 over the Bucks. McCaffrey's back. Niners off the bye. Tampa off the short week with the Monday night game. No Evans, no Godwin. That one speaks for itself. Lions minus 3.5 over the Texans. I'm going to be honest about this one. I know a lot of pros who like Houston in this spot. I'm going the other way. Lions are 40-15 against the spread their last 55 games. That goes back to 2021, David. This team's an absolute wagon against the spread. On top of that, that Houston O-line, along with no Nico Collins and no Steph Diggs, they're going to struggle against this defense. So I will continue to back the Lions. We'll lay the 3.5. Chargers, Tennessee, under 38.5. Chargers are like 7-1 to the under this season. I don't think a single Charger game has featured 40 or more points. They've all been very low scoring. They run the ball. They play slow tempo. They play great defense. And then I'd also play the Colts plus the 4 over the Bills. I think it's too many points to lay on the road. Colts defense is coming around. They're getting healthy. Bills have some injury issues. Keon Coleman a bit banged up. So to recap NFL, Steeler money line plus 125, Niners minus 6.5, Colts plus 4, Lions minus 3.5, Chargers, Tennessee, under 38.5. It is a great week for teaser bets. Guys who like playing six-point teasers, Philadelphia, the Chargers, the Niners, the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the Vikings. This is going to be a huge teaser weekend. So if you wake up Monday morning and the teaser legs don't look good, don't call me next week. I'm going to be in big trouble because I'm going to be playing way too many teasers tying all these things together. I love the six-point teasers. Real quick primer for those who don't know how they work. You get 6 points to move the point spread. So, for example, the Bears are a six-point favorite. You can move that spread all the way down to pick 'em, which means you just need to win the game. Hooray! That sounds great. Why wouldn't we all do this? There is a catch. You need a second leg in the teaser. You have to find another team where you move their point spread 6 points as well. So, for example, give me San Francisco. They're a 6.5-point favorite. We tease it down 6 points. It goes to a half point. We just need to cover half a point. Pair them up with the Chargers. 7-point favorite over Tennessee. We move it from 7 down to 1. That's a 6-point move. So for our bet to win, the Niners need to win by half a point or more. The Chargers need to win by 1 or more points. And we're in business there. I hope that made some sense. Those are very fun bets. I love playing them.
I love it when you educate our audience, Joe Fortenbaugh. Thank you so much for your knowledge and your wisdom.
It is always my pleasure. I love you very much, Chicago. Stay true. It's going to turn around for the Bears. But until next week, yes, in fact, go Bears.
All right, Joe Fortenbaugh. And this segment with Joe Fortenbaugh was brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Okay, now, are the Bears cooked? Is Matt Eberflus cooked? Kyle Long says they're cooked. Do you agree? 312-644-6767. Back to Bears Talk. Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.